type of share. This is not the norm, really. I want you to picture the world before...
Let's do a
Leland Nishmas. You know what? That's a good call. Leland Nishmas, Yoni Moskowitz. So I want to picture the world before the sin. Before the sin. What was the world like before the sin? So we all know that the world works. It's sort of like a food chain. I mean, there's always the carnivores that are up on top, and you know the animals all down all on the bottom that are just the food for the one on top, and then on top and on top, whatever it is. And the ones all the way on top are always instilling fear into the other animals, into the lowly animals.
Yeah, we're more afraid of lions than we are, you know.
Yeah, we are sort of out of the food chain, but meaning a lion would scare a zebra or a gazelle, you know, and those types of animals, it would keep going down and down and down. And you, I mean, the perfect example is like a bug to a bird, which would be eaten by a hawk, which could be, you know, you can keep going, and you bring it from one level to the other. But was that the purpose of the world? Was the purpose of the world to have something that was a mashris, a carnivore, an animal that ate other animals, destroyed other animals? Is that really the original machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what he wanted in this world? Granted, in nature, you need it. And the reason why is to keep populations in check. If you have all these rats that are, you know, keep breeding and breeding and breeding, because rats have the ability to breed after every 30 days. They can have another litter, and they have 6 rats per litter, and there were no carnivores to keep the rats in check, then the rats would take over the world. I understand that. But I understand that. But typically, the way it is that weaker animals have more kids because many of them die. Stronger, bigger animals have less kids because they don't have to worry about that sort of thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made it in a way that it would have been perfect. In other words, and I know it's hard to say such a thing, but meaning he could have made it that even the rats only give birth to one at a time, you know, once a year. So why did he make it that there's so many of them and therefore we need a carnivore? There has to be a spider because otherwise there's too many flies or gnats. Make the flies and gnats, you know, just give birth once in a while and that's it. Couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have made a world that was absolutely perfect, where every animal knew its place and were able to take care of each other without having to destroy one another? Couldn't that have happened? The answer is, yeah. And he did. He did make that world. Before the chait, before Adam Rishon did anything, before he had sinned and done anything wrong. So there was no such thing as carnivores. When Adam Rishon, granted it was only for about 6 hours, but when Adam Rishon was in Gan Eden, he was sitting there in Gan Eden, there was no such thing as a lion eating meat. It didn't happen. There was no such thing as a bear destroying, mauling other animals. It never happened. There was no hawk. There was no owl. They ate other foods. What foods? I have no idea. But they ate other foods. They ate other things that took the place of the protein that they got through their meat. L'asid lavo, it's going to happen all over again. V'yishpati chaya ra min ha'aretz, says Yeshaya. I will destroy all the wild animals, the evil animals from the ground. It's supposed to be like t'chilas abriya. It's supposed to be like the beginning of creation. Because an olam ha'metukan, a perfect world without any problems, has no kilkel in it. There's never going to be a mashlis.
Hold on.
Only when people sin, only when we sinned and when we did something wrong, when we brought kilkel and something wrong into the world, because we are the tachlis and the entire world is affected through our actions and everything we do, when we did that, then we caused cruelty to come in the world. We caused animals eating other animals. We cause this idea of having a carnivore in the world. Now, Noah brought tons of food onto the table. Okay? So the question that everybody asks is, how does that help the carnivores? He didn't bring any meat. What's the lion going to eat? What's the bear going to eat? What's the owl going to eat? What are these animals that only eat meat? What are they going to do while they're on the table? So Ibn Ezra says they became vegetarians.
How do you know that the animals started eating meat after Adam Rishon sinned? Because It doesn't say anything like that.
No, you are correct. You are correct. And Aaron, that's a good call. It's an assumption. It's an assumption because that's the way nature works. And it doesn't seem that nature changed after the Mabul. It doesn't seem that part of nature changed. It seems that that's what it is. But you're correct.
Because after the Mabul, Noah was allowed to eat.
Well, that's true. That Noah was allowed to eat. It didn't mean that the animals changed their entire nature. It would be that animals changed their nature after the sin because people sinned and people did brought the cruelty. But that's the idea. But you're correct. I don't have a riot for that exactly. But I don't have a riot for that. I don't want to try.
How do we know the animals didn't eat meat on the table?
On the table itself, it's very clear from the Pesukim that they brought vegetables and fruit onto the table. And Rashi says each one for each animal.
I hear that it could have been done in a certain way, and it wasn't. But we still don't even know that they weren't eating meat from the very beginning.
The Medrash says he was.
In Lasid Lavo, the animals will no longer eat meat. That's the raya that before the chait, they didn't eat meat. That's the proof. So after the cheder would be that way. So why not bring basar onto the table? Why not shecht a bunch of animals outside of the table right before you go on, take the meat, and put it on the bottom of the table? And you just say, oh, it's going to stink up the place. It's all going to rot. Vegetables also rot. There was a bracha given to the vegetables and the fruit that it didn't rot over the year that they were in the teva, in a dank, dark place in the middle of the, on the bottom floor of the teva. So if that could happen for the food, why couldn't that happen for meat? If that's going to happen to the vegetables and the everything else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given a bracha to all the meat. So again, why didn't they bring meat onto the teva? Why didn't that happen? So here we go. And one more thing. The pasuk says, Vayishoer ach Noach. Only Noach remained. Obviously, and those that were with him in the teva, Asher Itoba teva. Rashi says in his second parish that ach Noach meant that he cried out loud. He was groaning out loud. Why was he groaning? What was he complaining about? Because the lion, when it wasn't fed on time, bit Noach. Gave Noach a huge bite, and he got a limp. And he was lame, you know, in one of his legs, and he wasn't able to move his leg as well. He was like trudging through, walking through the teva. And that's why Yishoer Ach Noach. That's what it refers to. Rabbi Yashiv quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara Sanhedrin Kuf Chasam Abayis says that Eliezer Ben Avram asked shame. They lived it around the same time. Eliezer Ben Avram did see shame. He asked shame. He said, "What was it like on the teva? What was it like for you guys? Like, what did you guys do when you were on the teva?" And shame said, "Oh, you wouldn't believe how much pain we were in. Sar Gadol." Hayinu, Hayalanu Viteva, tremendous tsar. We didn't sleep. Every animal that had to be fed during the day was fed during the day. Every animal that was fed at night, they had to be fed at night. That's what they were doing every day and every night. They were working nonstop trying to feed all the animals on the table. How could Noah be blamed for one time not bringing the food over to the lion? How could he be blamed for that? Says Rav Yashiv Einstein, unbelievable Yisod, Lo Koaz Manim Shabbos, not all times are equal. It's not all the same. In normal situations, you would never be held responsible for such a thing. Normal situations, I mean, what are you supposed to do? You can't be a perfect person. There's no way. You can't be blamed for that. But in a mavabel, when you are the Kiyum Olam, the whole world is resting on your shoulders. And if you mess up, the whole world is destroyed. If it's all up to you, you're given extra Siyata Dishmaya. The Siyata Dishmaya that's given to you is to be able to do more than what you normally would do. And if you don't do more than what you normally do, then you're blamed. That's what ended up happening. How could this be? Why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him Siyata Dishmaya to feed the lion on time? HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him extra Siyata Dishmaya, right? So why wouldn't he get the Siyata Dishmaya to feed the lion on time? Here's the idea, and it's a tremendous idea, all based on Rav Wolfson. It's not exactly Rav Wolfson, but it's based on what Rav Wolfson says. Hashem saw all the kyokel in the world. That nature was affected, and that's unbelievable. That animals wanted to be with other animals. That animals were killing other animals. Because there was kyokel in the world, there was hate in the world, and the whole world was destructed. The whole world was rampant with everything you can possibly imagine. And the kilayim between the species and everything, and I couldn't tell who needed to start everything all over. Not only did he destroy, he needed to destroy the people and the animals, he needed to destroy the actual land. He said, the land is tummy. I gotta destroy this entire world. I can't deal with this anymore. But I have to make a new world that would be perfect, that would start off without chet. That would start off without chet. So he chose a tzaddik. He chose a tzaddik named Noach, whose schus would keep alive all the animals in the teva. His schus would be able to keep normal, would keep it from rotting, all the plants and all the things that he had in the teva, and would be a world before the chet, in the teva. And that was the teva. The teva was a different world, a world where there was no such thing as carnivores. Because this was Adam Arishon before the chet. This is what it was like. So the lion didn't need meat. It was eating vegetables, like it ate before the chet, and like it will la'asid lavo by Mashiach. The lion was only eating vegetables. The bear was only eating vegetables. And the hawks and the eagles, they were only eating vegetables. Because there was no such thing as cruelty. There was no such thing as evil. It wasn't there. The table was full of goodness. All the animals were peaceful, as it would be in the new world. And even though Kinim kasas the teva, that there were rooms, it wasn't a room for every animal. It was a room for all different types of animals. And all different animals were together, all to the merit of Noach. And what does Noach mean? What does that name mean? Resting. Peaceful. That's what Noach stood for. It's what he's bringing to the entire world. Oh, but I messed it up. But Chum did something evil. Chum couldn't hold himself back, couldn't gather and rein in his taivas, and he sinned. He was together with his wife on the teva, which was Asurd. Which was Asurd. That's not something you can do when the whole world is bitzar. You can't make yourself have pleasure. The whole world is in pain. The whole world is being destroyed. This is the time when you have to separate from your wife and you're not allowed to be together with your wife. Once Ham's sin affected the entire teva, that means every animal and every bit of the teva was affected adversely. The whole teva was destroyed. Every animal there, the kelev and the orev, the dog and the raven, who were also prone to doing such a thing, because Ham did it, that affected the raven and the dog. And the raven was together with its mate. And the dog was together with its mate. And already there was kilkel in the world. And the aryeh, the lion, started roaring for meat. Now it had a desire. Because once the desire was put into the world, inside the teva, the lion wanted meat again. But it couldn't get meat. There was no meat there. So what did it do? It needed more plants, more food. Because if you're really hungry for something, what that does is when you need to eat a certain amount of protein or whatever it is, whatever you need when you're eating meat, if you have other foods, it can make it up. But you have to eat more and more. You're eating everything else ravenously. And if you eat all those things ravenously, then you'll get to the point where the meat was, where you would have had if you would have had the meat. So even though Noah was feeding it normally, he didn't realize how pagam the whole table was. Didn't realize that the lion needed meat now. And in this new matzav, the lion became a mashchis and bit Noah and caused him to become lame. That's the new world that it was. And this world is a totally different place than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention, original intention, was to make a perfect world and have there be another Eitz Hadas and see what was going to happen. That's not the world anymore. This world, Noah gets drunk. This world, Ham and Canaan are cursed. In this world, only one person, Avram Avinu, is going to come out from all the other people. There's going to be a Dor Migdal. There's going to be crazy things happening, and only Avram Avinu is going to exist. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, why should I let them out? Maybe I shouldn't let them out. Maybe I should just destroy them now and start all over. Forget about Noah. Forget about Shem, Ham, and Yafes. Forget about all these animals. I'll start all over. Why should I bother? But then he looked at Noah and he said, look at Noah's kids. There's going to be an Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu is so tremendous. So tremendous, so far away from the rest of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's worth me having such a world where there's pagam, where there's kilkel, where people see only problems. It's worth having this world to come out with one Avram Avinu. To have one Avram Avinu, it's all worth it. I think it's all worth it. And that's why we say, have you ever noticed, it's such a strange thing, in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, do you know what the first Zicharon is? First time we mention the Zecher, we have Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. What's the first pasuk that we mention in Zichronos? It's Noach. Vayizkor Hashem Elokim et Noach. What, would God forget? What else was God doing? There was nothing else to do. The world was destroyed. There's nothing else in the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Noach? What, do you have to remember him as if there was something to forget? The answer is that it was an unbelievable Zicharon. The world should have been destroyed. That should have been it. Noah should have died. All the people in the teva should have died. The animals should have died. Because now there's kilkel in the world. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in the teva. Ham ruined it for everyone. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't. There's still an Avram Avinu. And that's the Gam Es Noach Ba'ava Zacharta. That's what we say in our Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. And even Noach Ba'ava Zacharta, even though it messed up, he messed up. Even though Noach somehow messed up. Somehow by doing something with Ham, there was something wrong with what Ham did. Ba'ava Zacharta. You remembered him with Abba. You remembered that there's going to be an Abram. You remember that. And that's by Yizkor Elokim as Noach. That's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Noach while he's still inside there. Es Noach. The Toldos of Noach. And that's the idea behind the whole parsha, that Noah was saved because of everything else. So now we've got a world that's messed up. We've got a really messed up world. Now we've got a bit of an issue. What do you do now to fix up the world? We've got to do something. There has to be something that you can do in order to fix up this world. What could you possibly do to be able to fix up this world? How could I fix this up? There's an idea here, and it's such a tremendous idea. Noah sent out an orev, a raven. I'm going to read you the pasuk for this. And I'd like you to think about what it was. It says the following. It says, at the end of 40 days, it was 40 days of rain, 150 days of where the water just kept going with one another, and then 40 days after that, and he opened up the window on the top of the table. And he sent out the raven, and it went backward and forward, before the water had dried from on the land. What was the point in sending out the orev? Why did he send out the raven?
To find dry land.
To find dry land. Where does it say that? It doesn't say it anywhere. By the Yonah, it says, by Yishalach as the Yonah means, so he sent out the Yonah from him, Liros, to see, Hakalu Amayim al Pnei Haaretz. Did the water go away from the land? But by the orev, it didn't say that. The Oris, it doesn't say that he sent it out to see that the land dried up. Why did he send out the Oris? What was going on with the Oris? And then why didn't the Oris do its job? What kind of an idiot is the Oris? What is it worried about? It's worried about a sakana? Granted, okay, I understand, you could die. This is a mission that Noach sent. But it's the first animal chosen by Noach to do this mission. You'd think you'd be pumped. You're the animal that was chosen. You're the animal that's going to bring the Besora Tova to everyone on the table. Don't worry, we're going to be there soon. And then, you know what the biggest Pella is? The biggest wonder behind this whole thing? The Yonah comes back, brings him a little olive leaf. He sends out the Yonah again, the Yonah doesn't return. So does Noach leave the Teva? I mean, it's dry land, right? Noach doesn't leave the Teva. He waits for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell him to leave the Teva. So why did he send the Yonah? Why would he send him in the first place? What was the point in sending out the Yonah if he wasn't going to leave? It's so strange. So unbelievably strange. And again, what was the point of the Oreb? Where is the Oreb going? Rav Yashiv says, an evil person, it's all a lesson, an evil person will do anything to shirk responsibility. You need to do something, any excuse that you can think of. Oh, it's cold outside, I'm the only one there, I'm worried about my mate. Can you imagine Rashi says that the Oreb said to Noah, I know that you're looking at my mate and you want to be together with my female raven. What kind of a... That's your taina? That's your reason for getting out of this? Like, I can't go. I'm really afraid you're going to take my... Oh, come on! A Russia, says Rav Yashiv, will do whatever he can to get out of it. But B'nai Yisrael are like a Yonah. B'nai Yisrael are like a Yonah. We bring Or and Besora, good news to the world. And Chizuk, no matter how hard it is to do, no matter what we have to do. So Chassam Sofer says an unbelievable line over here. The Oreb refused the mission here. Ad Yeboshes Hamayim. Anybody know the famous drasha that comes from this? Yeboshes. The letters rearranged is Tishbi. That the raven didn't do the mission now. But when Eliyahu HaNavi was running around in the desert, running away from Ahab because he had refused to give rain to the world, he had taken away rain from the world, Eliyahu HaNavi is running through the desert, he didn't have any food. Who brought him food? The raven. The Orvim came and bring him food. So says Rashi, it says, Ad Yabosh Samayim. However, when Eliyahu HaNavi needed food, that's when the ravens bring food. What was the difference? Why did the ravens come then? What's the difference between Noach and Eliyahu? Here's the simple difference between Noach and Eliyahu. Noach was a Tamim. You know what that means? He was a simpleton. He was a Tam. He acted as if he had no effect on the rest of the people of his generation. He said, like, oh, well, who am I? I can't do anything. He didn't fight Dora Mabel enough. He didn't fight them enough. He didn't say anything to them. Now, granted, he had a hard job. You know, when he was told to make the Teva, he was never told there was going to be a Mabel. You ever notice that? He was never told there was going to be a Mabel. It doesn't say that anywhere. It doesn't say he was told there was going to be a Mabel. Also, he didn't know how long he had to make the Teva for. He didn't tell him, it's going to be in 120 years. Hashem said that to himself. I'll give man 120 years. But it doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Can you imagine? Noach made this Teva. It took him a year to build. I mean, a Teva, it's big. You know, it's about 450 feet by 75 feet. It's not bad. It's about a half a block long. You know, and like from the street to an alley. It's a big Teva, I understand that. But come on, I mean, it took him about a year, maybe 2 years to build. And then he had no idea when the Mabel was coming. So he stood outside the Teva and he said, it might be today. And for 119 years, he stood outside the Teva. And whenever everybody would walk by, they were like, what are you doing here? And Noach was like, there might be a Mabel today. There might be something. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the land somehow. I don't know how, but I'm supposed to be in here. And I'm like, okay, good luck, buddy.
People doubted even more. Yeah. If it started raining, the minute he finished building it, these guys are like, oh.
Seems strange, right?
And after a while, it's like the guy...
119 years! But the question is, you build the Teva for the others. And 119 years he's sitting there, this is not my line, it's from Ramosha Fein. Ramosha Feinstein says, can you imagine what the embarrassment, the degradation that Noach underwent when he made this Teva? 119 years, people are like, hey, the mob will come in today, Noach, it might. Like, you can't imagine. And the reason why it took him so long is Ramosha's pshat. Why it took him so long, it took him, after the 7 days were up, he refused to enter the Teva, and Rashi says he was Miktani Amunahaya. He's so little Amunah that he didn't go into the Teva. It was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the 120 years, he's like, alright, I was about to bring the Mabel, but I'm going to wait another 7 days. No, it's like, I can't deal with this anymore. This is crazy. I can't do it. I'm being made fun of right and left. Says Ramosha, he mamish could not take the degradation. He couldn't take it. So Chassam Sofer says, Noach was too passive. He's too passive. He didn't go after the people. He saw them sin and didn't do anything drastic to stop them. But Eliyahu HaNavi did the exact opposite. What did Eliyahu HaNavi do? When Bnei Yisrael sinned, Eliyahu HaNavi said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, destroy your nation. I wanted you to destroy every Jew in Klal Yisrael. And Hashem was like, are you sure? And Eliyahu's not. He's like, yeah, I'm positive. Absolutely positive. Destroy every Jew. And he didn't allow it to rain. People were eating their own children. And Eliyahu refused to let it rain because there were sinners in Klal Yisrael. He killed Nevi'ei HaBaal, those who were sacrificing to Baal, the prophets of the Baal. He brought them up to a mountain and he made fun of them. And he's like, hey, try to do whatever you can. Maybe you should dance a little bit more. And when it didn't work, he's like, all right, kill them all. That's Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was a kanoi beyond kanoim. Beyond anything you've ever heard of or imagined coming out of Meisharim. You can't imagine what Eliyahu HaNavi was, what he did to Klal Yisrael. He was Pinchas. He is the one who saw a person doing a sin and was able to spear him. There's no one like him, but he used his cruelty for a good purpose. To improve Klal Yisrael. To bring up Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, but Moshe had died for the Jewish people when they sinned. He told us
you're right. I'm not comparing them to Moshe.
No, but why
You're right. I'm not arguing. Moshe was by Moshe was by far the greatest. We're dealing with extremes. Whatever you want to call it, yeah, you can call it that way. That Chesed is Noach and Gevura is Eliyahu HaNavi, and that Rachamim would be Moshe. However you want to call it, but Moshe was the ultimate. He did obviously exactly what he was supposed to do. The Orev became naturally cruel on the table. An animal that's able to sit there and say, "Everybody else is dying. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to be fine with what I'm doing." That is, there can't be any greater cruelty than that. All the animals suffering, every person in the world is suffering, and you want to fulfill your own taiva, there's nothing more cruel than that. A naturally cruel bird found more in common with Eliyahu, who acted cruel, than in Noah, who didn't act it. So it refused to serve the latter. It refused to serve Noah. It only served the former. Okay? So why did Noah send the Orev in the first place? Noah knew that the Orev had, had issues, had problems, that there was cruelty in the animal. Why would Noah send it in the first place? Why not send any other animal? And especially because the pasuk doesn't say why it's going to do it. Okay, so what's pshat? We said before that Chum ruined the world that should have been. The perfect world. Chum being together with his wife on the teva destroyed everything. There was absolutely nothing left. It was just a different pegamed world. Crows are now cruel to their children. Livneo rave, asher ye crow, is what we say in our Haluka number 2. Livneo rave to the sons of the raven, asher ye crow. You know what the Medrash says? Medrash says an unbelievable thing. It says, ravens we know are black. Its children are born white. The raven looks at its children, according to the Medrash, and sees that it's white children, and it says to its mate, it's not my kids. And it refuses to feed his kids. It refuses. Said, not my kids. And it convinces its mate not to feed the kids either. And it grabs its mate and it goes somewhere else. And the children are left to die. So what do? They call out to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu creates gnats, yitushim, flies, that come out of the dung of the mother and father bird that were there in the nest. These gnats come out and the little birds eat that. And then they start to turn black, and then they become a regular raven, and they're able to live in the world. That's Livneo Rave Asher Yikro. That's what the Medrash says on that pasuk right there, and I think it's in Medrash Tehillim. Okay. Do you know what crows stand for? They stand for a klipa, meaning a shell of tumah, something that goes wrong. The Mikubalim tell us, and this is from a sefer called the Kilas Yaakov, certainly not the Stifler though, a sefer called Kilas Yaakov in the name of the Mikubalim. What? They are supposed to be extremely smart. Mikubalim tell us that the Sod of Yeshu, the secret of Yeshu, is within the crow. It's not Stam that the crows feed from the dung of their parents. And Yeshu, in Olam Haba, in Gehenim, is sitting, according to the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayim and Aleph, in a heap of Tzoa Rosachas, boiling dung. It's not for naught, it's not for nothing that there's a connection between those two. It's not Stam. There's always that connection. Yeshu's cruelty is well known. The fact that he wanted Bnei Yisrael to sin, the fact that he was Mesis from Ediach, that he put them off the Derech, similar to the crow's cruelty to its own children. That's supposed to be the connection between them. Noah had a plan. I know the crow is cruel now. I know the crow stands for all this tumma now. I can send it out. I can weaken its koach. You know how? I can do something tremendous. I can have a tremendous effect on it. What happens when you tell over good news? Tell over good news. Something happened. You feel good about it, It's like, you stay over like, oh, you never believe. Like, something happened to that guy. The guy's engaged. Oh, mazel tov. Everybody's all happy. The bearer of good news feels good about himself. You know why? So, Rav Wolfson says, you get a nitzutz of Eliyahu HaNavi within you. Every time you tell over a little bit of good news, who's the mevaser tov? Who is the Kol mevaser mevaser v'omer, that we say in Hoshana Rabbah. Kol mevaser mevaser v'omer. Who is the mevaser? Who is the one that's going to tell us the news that Mashiach is coming? Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi has the job of telling us Bisoros Tovos in this world. And if you tell good news, even before Eliyahu existed, the Neshama still existed. Even before that point, there was an ability to gain the Neshama of Eliyahu HaNavi. You become a taller person. You get an unbelievable amount of Kedusha within you. And you can change if you tell good news. The exact opposite happens when you tell bad news. But you can change when you can tell good news. This is unbelievable. Noach wanted the Orev to go on its own, not to be sent, to go on its own to see if the water had dried up. And if it would have done its mission, if it would have gone out and seen it, and come back to Noach, and told Noach that it all dried up, he told over a Besorah Tova. What happens when you tell over good news? You're connected with Eliyahu HaNavi. When you're connected with Eliyahu HaNavi, that means what? All of a sudden, you become a little bit more Kedusha, a little bit more Kadosh. Noach's plan was to fix up the world. Noach's plan was to change the pagam that happened in the Teva, to change that raven, to take that kyoko and be metaken it, fix it up again, bring about Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm sorry. Ham couldn't fly. I thought that as well, and I thought like Ham and the Kelev. What do you do with those two? The way Rav Wolfson says it is specifically the Orev was the shorish behind all the tuma, whatever that means, and I don't know. Probably because of the klipa of the Yeshu, and that's probably what he meant. I don't know what that means exactly. No, but granted, I'm sorry, Orev, the Orev.
Right. But Eliyahu was also.
But that's from there. But hold on. But the Orev was so tame, it refused to go. The Orev could not take it. It was so tummy. It said, I can't. It was so cruel. It refused to share good news with anybody else. It became so cruel. It said, I'm not going to fly around the table even to even see if it's going to happen, let alone tell anybody else. There's no way I'm going to do it. So Noach had to send the Yonah. The Yonah stands for Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is now going to be the Mevaser Tov. We're going to be the ones who tell the rest of the world what's happening with Mashiach. Not the Orev, not Yeshu. He won't be the Messiah, so to speak. It's going to be us who are going to be the Mevasers to be able to say things. And the Orev did get a tikkun eventually. It did connect itself to Eliyahu HaNavi in a way that fixed up something in the world, but not the entire thing. By connecting with Eliyahu HaNavi later on, giving him meat, giving him something to eat, but it never told the Besorah Tova. It never did everything. It didn't take away from the act of Chum. That wasn't enough. And that was the problem. And that remained that way, and that the Gam remained for the rest of time. We haven't lost it yet. And now we're living in a world where bad things happen. And it's really hard for us to see the good in anything. Really, really hard for us to be able to say anything that's even good without fooling ourselves. It's such a bad, I know it's a bad world, such a hard world to live in with all the bad news and everything like that. So what made Noach tell me? What made Noach really tell me? So I'm going to tell you over Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein says this line. And it really, the Chassam Sofer says it a little bit clearer, but he says the following. Noach mamish looked like a fool in his door for listening to Hashem and doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Okay? Says Rashi, even though the Pasuk says he was a tzaddik and tamim hayibidorosav, says Rashi, had he lived in other generations, the mamish wouldn't have been anything. Noach would have been nothing had he lived in any other generation. The question that's asked is obvious. The Pasuk calls him a tzaddik and tamim. And Rashi's like, yeah, maybe. Like, come on. Who could be made better than God that you're a tzaddik and a tamim? How in the world could anybody, the Gemara obviously, and the Medrash, how could the Gemara and the Medrash say that he's tamim haya bedorosav, only in his doors, but not in future generations? What else could you, how could he possibly be? And plus, if he was another generation, he would have been better. Since when do we weigh tzaddikim against each other? We're like, yeah, yeah. If Moshe Feinstein lived in the times of the Tanoim, he would have been a Tana. So when do we do that?
What would Rav Moshe or Avram Avinu never done in Noach?
Right, exactly. Like, what would have been? And nobody says anything. So what is this? The scale of who's greater than the other? Like, what is this? Like, is there a measure that we're saying, like, oh, here's Avram Avinu and here's Noach, he just didn't make it? Like, what does that mean?
People do that nowadays.
It's wrong. So why is Rashi doing it? It's wrong. And we all know it's wrong. You don't compare tzaddikim. And especially if they didn't live in that generation. What do you want Noach to do? Noach, you were, in your generation, you were awesome. But had you lived another time, you would have been terrible. Like, come on. Like, but I didn't. I did what I was supposed to do. Look, what else do you want from me? Is Noach being punished for this in Olam Haba? Oh, man, if only I would have let you live in a different generation. Like, how could that be? Here we go. You can't really compare Maisa Gedolim. You can't compare one Gadol to the other. However, even though certain people have great, great deeds, and certain other people may not, there could be one act that you do that's greater than any act, I shouldn't say greater, that's as great as any act that Gadol did. So for example, Avraham Avinu, we know what he did. We know the greatness of Avraham Avinu and everything that he was able to accomplish. Then you look at Noah. You say, Noah, we don't know what he accomplished. We don't know any real accomplishments. We do see one massive Nisayan. One massive test that he did was the ability to make the Teva no matter what, even though he didn't know when the Mabul was going to be. Even though people were making fun of him. Even though everything was happening. Even though he was laughed at back and forth and back and forth. He had a Nisayan. And had he lived in any other generation, he never would have had that Nisayan. So you hear what Rashi is trying to say? It's an interesting Chassam Sofer. He says, had he lived in another generation, then the Maisa that Noach did to be considered a Tzaddik and a Tamim wouldn't have existed. So he may not have been the great Tzaddik that we expected him to be, or that we think he is. He did it because, in his generation he did exactly what he was supposed to do, and Shemayim is in the highest of the highs. Who knows where Noach is in comparison to everybody else? He's the father of the entire world. Everybody comes from Noach. There's nobody like Noach. Noach is the father of everyone. But had he lived in another generation, he wouldn't have been the Tamim and the Tzaddik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him. He's only a Tamim and a Tzaddik because God gave him that Nisayan and he passed it. That's the idea behind it. It's such a crazy idea. You realize that there's always a Nisayon by every person. Everybody has a Nisayon, a test, in some way, shape, or form. And your job is to pass it. And if you pass it, that makes you equal to, or maybe even greater than, the greatest Gedolim of not only your generation, but of previous generations as well. By your Nisayon, whatever that test is. It doesn't mean you have to act like Reb Moshe Feinstein to be as great as Reb Moshe Feinstein. Again, that's a scary thing to say, because obviously we want to emulate his ways and try to do as much as we possibly can. But Reb Moshe Feinstein is, I don't have the ability. I don't have 36 hours in my day like Reb Moshe Feinstein did. It's almost an impossibility for me to be Reb Moshe Feinstein. But I have a different Nisayon. I have a different test that I have to get over. And if I get over that test, then I can be equal to Reb Moshe Feinstein. And that is the idea behind the Rambam saying that everyone has the ability to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you be Moshe Rabbeinu? Probably not. Probably not. But you have the ability to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. To bring yourself to a level where it's as if you are the Moshe Rabbeinu of your time. You are the Moshe Rabbeinu of yourself. You did what you were supposed to do. That's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked from you.
Maybe the world was created in such a rotten way so that maybe the world was created for Noah.
That's the beginning. It wasn't. It was created with a perfection in mind. But when the sin happened, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to say, allowed the world to be in a way that there can be a Noach that becomes a Gadol. There can be even a Noach that becomes a Tzaddik and a Tamim.
Like God is surprised.
No, not surprised. I'm not saying it that way.
The world's going to digress. And so he creates this cave, so he recreates the world again. But like, he knows that how it's going to happen. So, like,
and who knows?
This is an exercise
in futility. No. It's a tachlis. This is the purpose of the world. But everybody still has free will to be able to decide
to
make it happen.
Why destroy the world to recreate it anew again to have the same problem again?
That is a good question. But that can be answered. That can be answered. In order to give Noach the ability to succeed. It might have all been for that. Or just for Avraham. Who knows? But either way, in a summary, we have a world of Tikkun as no carnivores. And that was ruined by Ham. The Orev was let out and only wanted to work for Eliyahu Navi. And the Orev could have fixed everything. But he didn't. He refused to do it out of his cruelty. And Noach was Tamim. He was willing to be made fun of for years and wasn't affected by it. That's the idea behind it. We'll stop.